The following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be a part of the show, call 334-321-1390 or text in at 334-784-1685. The boys are bringing you all the action on the Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. When it comes to the Tigers, the SEC, and the hottest topics in sports, this is where you want to be.
The Lane Kiffin drama continues, and a joke that we've been making the last few weeks may not be a joke anymore. It's Thursday, and you're on the line.
Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, straight from the ESPN 106.7 studio, here's Christian Griffin and Trip Upton.
Welcome in, welcome in. It is the Thursday edition of On the Line here on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and that Radio Alabama app. I'm Christian Griffin here with you inside the ESPN 106.7 studio. Happy Thursday, everybody. Hope you're doing well. Another day closer to the weekend, another day closer to high school football getting started, another day closer to week zero of college football, which means, inevitably, it's another day closer to week one and the true start of college football season, continuing to count down the days to September 5th with Auburn and Baylor inside Mercedes-Benz Stadium. But a lot to dive into before we get to that time, and a lot to dive into here this afternoon. More drama in the SEC when it comes to Lane Kiffin. And again, we've made a little bit of a joke over the last handful of weeks about the opportunity, or the possibility rather, of court cases not being against individuals, rather against schools. And there are now some articles about that could possibly be working its way into effect. We'll dive into that, as well as some of the top 100 players that Sports Illustrated and ESPN were to released, and where a couple of the Auburn players find themselves in there, and how that can be a benefit that there are not as many as Auburn fans would have liked to have seen, but how that, again, can be a benefit for what this team wants to do in 2026. We have Brad Law at 2:30 of the Auburn Sports Network. We have Chris Gordy of the Locked On SEC podcast joining us at 3:30, so should be a very, very fun, a loaded show here for you on this Thursday afternoon. I mentioned it, I'm Christian Griffin. Across from me, my man Trip Upton in the studio with me, as he is every single day. Happy Thursday. My man, I know that you are continuing to get more and more prepped for quite the road trip tomorrow night.
Yes, heading down to Choctahatchee High School in Fort Walton Beach, Florida for some football. And there's some good football on tonight. And Christian, believe it or not, the college football season starts tonight.
It does. The FCS season gets started here this evening.
Yes, you could listen to the drive could live react in hour two to some of these games. Think about that. Mercyhurst at Youngstown State. Penguins are a good squad. Ohio Dominican at Morehead State. Eastern Illinois at Murray State. Lafayette at Georgetown. Gardner-Webb at Austin Peay. Charleston Southern at Lindenwood. Northwestern in Iowa, not to be confused with Northwestern Illinois, plays Western Illinois. Chattanooga taking on West Georgia tonight.
Ooh.
So that's up the road in Carrollton.
Yeah.
Just near here. UVA Wise, there's some former Auburn High Tigers with the Cardinal of UVA Wise. They head to Presbyterian, the Blue Hose there. The Sox isn't where they get their name from. Houston Christian at Southeastern Louisiana. That Southeastern Louisiana team plays here in the state of Alabama against, I believe, South Alabama next week. If I do have that correct.
Correct.
Yep.
They travel,
and there's
to
a,
south,
there's
and, then they, and then North Alabama goes there the following week.
Yeah, so all of those games are from at 6 or 5 or 6 Central tonight, so probably going to be on ESPN Plus or Raycon Sports.
Thankfully, we know that there are no people out there that will be watching those games very, very intently for no reason whatsoever. We know that there's just a lot of avid college football lovers that know a lot about Towson, and they know a lot about everything. And so there will not be any very, very intense watching of FCS football.
No, but hey, if you don't want to watch that, Opelika kicks their season off tonight. If you want I'm not going to say a hate watch because I'm sure we have a lot of Bulldogs fans that listen to our show. They get their season kicked off tonight against the Hoover Buccaneers in Bulldog Stadium.
Yeah.
In the press release they sent yesterday, they may have accidentally put Duck Sanford Stadium, but we'll give them a pass, you know.
Little do you know, they're actually just borrowing the Duck for tonight.
See, unfortunately, in the past year, they'd actually probably have better success doing that. Unfortunately, given their last game at Duck Sanford Stadium and the win they got. But I digress. I know. I have a little bit of a doomer mentality right there. But we'll be excited to welcome them back in the first weekend of October for that game. The 102nd playing of Auburn Opelika. So, yeah, that game will be on Thompson Clay Chalkville on tonight. That's, like, insane.
Yeah.
That both those teams beating good opponents and Creekside and Central Phoenix City, respectively. That's going to be a good game on tonight. I'm trying to think. And Smith Station plays tonight as well against Percy Julian.
Yeah. So at worst, a lot of football on here tonight, to where you can go
football.
You got your dose of middle school or lower school football throughout the week. You now work your way towards the weekend where you get a little bit of high school football. You get some FCS football in there as well. And then you work your way to the Auburn and Lee Scott side of things on Friday. And then week zero coming up on Saturday. A lot of, people don't love the slate here this weekend. And I'm actually pretty pleased with it because I think that college football has listened to the fans, listened to the family within semi-professional football, I should say, of not just watching football because it's on, but at least giving some sort of relevance into some possible really good games. Again, TCU and North Carolina kick things off, but you have UNLV and Memphis. I know that late night kick that, again, could possibly have playoff implications, whether that is UNLV, whether that's what their record looks like versus the teams that they beat. You have Hawaii that's kind of in that group as well, going to Stanford. We'll continue to give our picks on that side of things tomorrow, as well as a little bit of a sneak peek, but our playoff brackets released tomorrow afternoon as well. And so really looking forward to what tomorrow holds, but also really looking forward to what today holds. And if you want to be a part of today's program, feel free to do so. The phone lines are open for the first 30 minutes of each hour. You can give us a call at 334-321-1390. Give us any of your thoughts on Auburn football, on any sort of college football, high school football for that matter, or anything else in the sports world that's on your mind here this afternoon. We'd love to share it with you. Again, 334-321-1390. The Send Medicine text box here at On the Line is always open as well at 334-784-1685. 334-784-1OTL. The text box, as it always is brought to you by Send Medicine. At Send Medicine, you get VIP medical care with direct access to your personal physician. With over 20 years of emergency room experience, Dr. Eric Sen is bringing personalized, access-driven healthcare to the Plains. You can find out more and you can become a member today by visiting SenMedicine.com. That's S-E-N-N Medicine.com. Again, regardless of your wherever you are in your walk of life, whether that is about to hit college if you're in high school, whether that's already in the college level, whether that's the early, like us, the kind of in-betweeners of no college, but no, I guess, giant side of life yet with a lot else to focus on in terms of youngsters or anything that.
I saw someone on Instagram refer to himself as a 24-year-old kid. So,
yeah, I think I can fall into that unless you have a secret that you want to share with me that I'm unaware of in terms of children. But
what?
I'm just making sure I can make that claim.
I don't have any children, okay. If that's what you're insinuating. Yeah, if that's what you're insinuating, no.
Just making sure that
there's a lot of steps that have to happen to get that done, and I am not even on the yellow brick road.
Another doom. Another doom mood here for you this afternoon. Sorry, yeah. Sensitive subject. We will not bring that back up again. But no, we appreciate everybody for being here with us. And again, the Send Medicine text box, SENNmedicine.com. Feel free to go check him out. Highly advise you to. He'll take care of you the same way that he takes care of us. And we start our program here this afternoon diving into more Lane Kiffin drama because, partner, we've made a couple of remarks, halfway jokes, halfway whatever you truly want to call it, in terms of the SEC now following the Big Ten and making their rule, as well as the Sun Belts. I don't believe the ACC officially released their statement yesterday, or the Big 12 or Notre Dame, for that matter. We still await the overall statements on that side of things.
Big 12 did just publish a statement. They also passed unanimously that this
was. That's right. I did see that. That was yesterday, because then everybody was having the talks of, oh, well, can Castellanos play, or is he not going to be able to? And that's at least a little bit different. So no, you are right on that side of things. And so the ACC and Notre Dame are essentially the teams that we are waiting on right now to see if they decide that. And a little bit of that in hour number two, talking about the College Football Playoff Committee and their meetings, possibly barring any teams that have former NFL players on any sort of postseason remarks, or possibly a postseason ban. But again, a little bit more about that as news continues to be released. We'll get that to start hour number two. But I made a joke a couple of weeks ago, and it was more of like a, ha-ha, oh gosh, this is probably going to happen. And now there are legitimate talks in Baton Rouge of, rather than personal temporary restraining orders or personal injunctions or whatever the case may be, we heard yesterday that essentially Lane Kiffin was going and talking to those former NFL players saying, hey, go get courted up, go get lawyered up, go get what you need to do, so that way we can get a TRO, we can get an injunction, so that way you can come back to Baton Rouge and play college football this year. Well, there are now talks in Baton Rouge. This is nothing permanent, but kind of putting two and two together that you just feel like it's the way of the times right now. There's a legitimate talking point that the LSU Tigers may have to get involved in some sort of court case, whether that is against the NCAA, whether that is against the SEC. How wild is it to think that you could legitimately see a court case titled the LSU Tigers against the SEC? That is an absolutely insane topic, and it just brings us back to the point of, who is it that actually runs college football right now? Because a court says that a player can play, LSU signs him. The SEC now says that he can't play, and the SEC, or the LSU Tigers now, are on the verge of possibly taking the SEC to court. Basically going back against what Lane Kiffin said a couple of days ago of, the SEC and the NCAA can't pick and choose which court orders they want to agree with versus deny.
It's such an interesting thought of, like, imagining the SEC and LSU doing battle. I wonder what that would mean for LSU athletics, looking at what would be happening. Would they be able to participate in SEC games, in SEC tournaments? Because if you're having to get a TRO or a injunction where it's like you cannot co-inhabit, would that mean, could this be an LSU, if they, is there a world, Christian, playing the what if, the hypotheticals, stuff like that, if LSU was to leave the SEC over this?
Wow.
Is that do you think that's a possibility at all?
I guess we haven't made it that far to even honestly truly give that a thought.
I know that is the most, like, slippery slope argument, looking at, like,
and that's kind of the end all be all final. It's like, okay, if we're going to agree to disagree, this is what we're just going to go and decide to do. But I mean, yeah, that could be a legitimate point. Or again, it's personally the LSU Tigers that just drive the NCAA to its death, because the NCAA is going to be backing the SEC, right? Rather than, this is what we talked about on Monday, where it's time for the SEC to now pick a point, pick an argument of, okay, are you going to defend the individual, whether that's the individual player or the individual team, or are you going to defend college football and everything that it stands for? The SEC obviously made the agreement with the Big Ten, and now, as many other conferences are doing, we're going to go and defend college football. The LSU Tigers aren't necessarily liking it. And so a little bit of a rundown on everything. Again, we know that 2022 high school recruits have challenged their NCAA eligibility rules. The Louisiana courts opened that door for possible eligibility. That potential includes players who finished with college, signed with an NFL team, went through NFL camp, got released, and now could return to college football. Lane Kiffin, the LSU Tigers, and the LSU athletic department. You feel like you can just tie all of that into one. It's obviously Lane Kiffin and Will Wade that are taking up that drama, but the two of them together in the same athletic department is a bit ironic from those behind closed doors conversations, which I would have given just about anything to have been a part of. And it's like, okay, this is how we're going to do things. But the NFL could cut day it could become another transfer portal. That was essentially right. Where we were at. You can go play in these preseason games. You can go do what you need to do and then return. Obviously, you now catch up to speed from what was happened over the past couple of days. SEC, the Big Ten, all of those decline. They make the rules to not allow any sort of players that have signed American pro contracts back into college sports. Lane's side now is, okay, well, if he was legally eligible, why wouldn't I recruit him? And not that I am agreeing whatsoever, but just seeing both sides of this argument, you get to the point of, okay, well, do you actually, although it's wrong, take the, it's wild the fact that I'm saying this, but it's college football, and we know that winning cures just about everything, but take the moral good versus moral bad judgment out of things. If Lane Kiffin's job is to build the best LSU roster possible, if he is saying, okay, well, this guy was eligible, and now the courts are saying that he can't play football because it, quote, doesn't feel right, are we punishing the individual as in Lane Kiffin for trying to exploit what was a gray area, which seems like it's continuing to grow within the rules of college football?
I think it's really, I mean, the gray area is a good point, but I think they cleared it up. I want to talk about this quote, though. I'm looking at an article by Yahoo Sports about this, and this is a quote from one of the attorneys representing guys like Wright and Harris in the Louisiana court case, saying, "The appropriate legal response is to hold the SEC and Big Ten accountable for their cartel-like coordination with the NCAA.
Wow.
How is it a cartel organization, Mr. Lawyer Man, if they are a part of the same organization?
That doesn't make any sense to me, saying the Big Ten and the SEC followed the rules. They're in the wrong because the Tigers need to go get some more players. Yeah, Christian.
So they should be able to.
They should be able to. And I understand, you know, the picking and choosing narrative. Lane Kiffin picks and chooses what rules to follow. I mean, you look at picks and chooses what jobs to leave for. I just don't understand why getting mad at the SEC and wanting to file legal things about the SEC is on the purview of LSU's mind, because at the end of the day, they're putting themselves over the conference.
Exactly. They're putting themselves and the individual over the conference of the SEC. And so it gets to the takes side of things of, is Lane Kiffin wrong for doing this? I don't, again, taking the moral right versus moral wrong of what you believe in the pageantry of what college football is, and I know that's difficult because that goes into so many different decisions for better or for worse. If your one job is to build the best possible roster and something like that was legal, can you say that Lane Kiffin is in the wrong? Not necessarily.
Well, I think that...
Lane's job isn't to protect the sanctity of college football.
Right. I understand. Well, I mean,
his job is to win games for the LSU Tigers, which, again, I am not believing in this. This is more so just seeing that side of the argument as well and then tying all of this together. His job isn't to sit there and go, well, you know what? It's never been done before, so I'm not going to bring an offensive lineman that played in a preseason game and signed a contract back because, you know what? I just think that that's bad for college football.
Well, first of all, I think sanctity and Lane Kiffin are about as opposites as jambalaya.
Maybe
and,
the first
and
time,
Eskimos.
Yeah, maybe the first time that that's ever been said together in a sentence. So I'll take that away.
There you go. Yeah, I look at what they do, and you look at like Kirby Smart wouldn't do this, Dabo Sweeney wouldn't do this, Ryan Day wouldn't necessarily do this. I know he had the quote of like, you know, if this is what you have to do, this is what we have to do, but he's not going to be the person to do it.
The fact that every coach, though, is at that point, whether that's any sort of rules in college football, going back to what Sarkisian said in Tampa, Florida, of, yeah, I don't want to have to be doing all of this NIL. I don't want to have to be doing all of this revenue share. I don't want to have to be doing all of the extracurriculars that make college football run now, because it's no longer just run on pageantry and tradition and the love of your team, despite that's how most of the fans feel. That's just not the reality of college sports anymore. Yet, this is what people and teams and organizations are having to do to keep up with the times.
And I just think about it as looking at this article mentions Brennan Sorsby, Texas Tech, when they sue the Big 12, and it got quashed in a matter of hours, in a matter of days, where it was like, oh, this isn't a good idea. They're going to stick to their guns. The teams in the conference are going to stick to their guns. And while I would also agree that the Southeastern Conference isn't as united as the Big 12 schools are, I just think that's because of what they had to go through in the early 2020s of the Hateful Eight staying together. You expand to new territories like BYU, UCF, and the Four Corner schools, Cincinnati as well. But I don't think they have that kind of cohesion in the SEC, so I don't know what would happen if a LSU team sues the SEC. Because if you're going to try and get rid of the NCAA, and as this article puts it, cross the Rubicon, if you know anything about history, you know what I'm talking about there. And going back at what cannot be undone and suing the NCAA, suing the SEC for tortious interference or something like that with your university. At that point, why not just, okay, we're going to sue them. Just lean all in. Just go, hey, we're going to get as many NFL players and break as many NCAA rules as we can, because mm-hmm. at the end of the day, you can't enforce them because we're in a lawsuit right now. We can't have any contact.
And I think that leads into the final tie-in for this entire narrative that we've been diving into to start here the Thursday edition of On the Line. This isn't really about Daquan Wright. It's not really about LSU. It's not really, honestly, about Lane Kiffin. It's about who actually runs college football. Because right now, I feel like the answer is nobody. The NCAA makes an eligibility rule. A player then goes and sues. A judge then goes and blocks the NCAA, making it to where you can't make any sort of decisions. LSU then goes, okay, we're going to exploit all of that ruling. The SEC then goes and creates another rule. The players then threaten to sue the SEC from that rule. And eventually, another judge decides whether or not the SEC's rule survives. That is where we are at in college football in 2026, where we literally talked about FCS games starting tonight. There are college football games that start tonight. FBS games start this weekend. The governing bodies are not governing anymore. They're making rules, and then they are waiting to find out whether or not those rules survive court. And that is a big-time scare. The NCAA conferences, for that standpoint, are at a very, very difficult spot trying to survive today's college football. And it's a wild, wild thought.
It's crazy, like, knowing the conversations that we had and the questions that were asked at SEC Media Days only a month ago. We were in Tampa, Florida for that coverage. And Greg Sankey was asked, like, first question, have y'all had conversations about breaking away from the NCAA? He's like, yeah. It's situations like these, though, that I feel like push them towards the NCAA, not away from it. Where, yes, the member institutions like LSU might want to leave, or the member institutions like Georgia might be frustrated with what the NCAA is doing. But the NCAA communicated with the SEC, the SEC communicated with the NCAA, and we're going to enforce these rules any way possible. And I like that. I think that that's what it should be. Because the SEC is a governing body that falls under the NCAA. And you can't get
believe it or not.
Believe it or not, I know, crazy. And sometimes it feels like the opposite, that the NCAA just exists in the scape of what the SEC and Greg Sankey and the rest of the conference tells them to do. Same thing with the Big Ten. But with this situation, it forces a divide. Instead of with the SEC and the NCAA, it's a member institution in the SEC. And that's such a very interesting path that we could be going down that could cause a separation at a different level of the chain instead of the one we originally thought.
Yeah. Plenty of different ways for it to go, plenty of different ways for it to break, and feels like the college football fans, the college football players, the college football coaches are all just kind of at a sitting waiting game, waiting to see which side gives first, which one they could take advantage of, and which one could possibly screw them over. That's where we're at in college football. We got to get to a break. We've blown way past our break. Got to pay the bills somehow. We'll be back here on the Thursday edition of On the Line right after this.
You're on the line with Christian Griffin and Trip Upton. Be a part of the show by calling 334-321-1390 or text us at 334-784-1685.
Back here on the Thursday edition of On the Line here on ESPN 106.7. Only have about a minute or so before the music kicks us out of here, and we will bring in Brad Law of the Auburn Sports Network to probably get some of his thoughts on not necessarily what we've dived into so far, but a list right now of which Auburn Tigers were on ESPN's top 100 player list. And if I told you there were two of them, I would be willing to say that you'd have a pretty good guess on which two. I will throw this to you. Do you have two guesses for the Auburn Tigers?
I'm going to go by Xavier Atkins probably somewhere between 15 to 20, and then Byron Brown somewhere in the late 80s to 90s.
That is correct. Xavier Atkins, or Byron Brown, rather, was the first one who made it at 88. Xavier Atkins, oh, I just saw it. Where did we go? Hold on. Kill time. I'm going to find it again. 28.
Oh, wow.
So 28 and in the late 80s. But again, both guys that wear the same number. And so I don't think that that's necessarily overly surprising to see those two guys. But maybe surprising that you don't see anybody else on there. But we've talked a lot about it over the last handful of months of how that can be a big-time benefit for the Auburn Tigers. And we'll bring in Brad Law of the Auburn Sports Network to talk all things about that. Also, Tiger Talk last night and any other storylines surrounding Auburn football. He joins us, Brad Law of the Auburn Sports Network, when we come back.
On the Line, and we're just 30 minutes in. Now back to the studio with Christian Griffin and Trip Upton on ESPN 106.7.
Minutes in here on the Thursday edition of On the Line. He is Trip Upton. I'm Christian Griffin. We appreciate everybody for being here with us on the Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. And let's bring in an expert as we do every single Thursday at 2:30. He is Brad Law of the Auburn Sports Network. My man, happy Thursday. Another day closer to the weekend. Another day closer to week zero, which means inevitably it's another day closer to week one of college football season.
Absolutely, guys. We're fired up about it. War Eagle, good to be with you as always.
Yes, sir. Well, I want to start by talking to you not only about the scenes that y'all were able to look over downtown Auburn last night at the War Eagle Supper Club, but was able to tune in and hear a lot of what Alex Golish had to say from Tiger Talk. And so talk about what the inaugural week one of Tiger Talk was and the success and the crowd that was able to make their way out there.
Yeah, he really, like, he commented a couple of times on The View, and so did everybody there. Just a fantastic event, and appreciate our friends at The Graduate and their hospitality. And, understand that the Auburn Network pregame show is going to be happening from The Graduate this year as well. So that's exciting for people to be there for before the Auburn Sports Network goes on the air. You guys group there will have a really good pregame show. But Coach Golis came on and, you know, it was just talking about turning the page from fall camp to what is a mock game week this week and into the regular game week. And I thought the first thing and the last thing that he said were the most interesting. The first was just how he's so focused on, you know, routes and matchups and scheme and so on and so forth that it's easy to be distracted when he's doing something that isn't, you know, game related. And probably a lot of coaches feel that way, but he's transparent enough to just call it, you know, to just say that. And then the last thing that he said, when Andy asked him about what do you do when you leave Tiger Talk tonight, he didn't just say we're going to go back to the office and work. He was very specific, gave like an itemized rundown of what the next 3 or 4 hours or so we're going to look like for him. And that's consistent. He's detail oriented, meticulous, has a plan, and isn't really worried about winning interviews or winning people over before games start. He's interested in winning games, and the rest will take care of itself.
Yeah, and I heard him talk a little bit about, too, the confidence in which he speaks with, and rightfully so, but saying that this Auburn team has been really successful and they haven't even played a game quite yet. And so understanding that that is such a big win for the fan base, and obviously the crowd playing a big factor in that as well. And just from the selfish side of things, I reached out to Lee Scott Academy to send Golish the footage of the middle school game as well for him to be able to dive into and dissect, because I know that he said there's some things that need to be worked on from week one to week two.
Yeah, that was funny. And I meant to follow up and ask him. We just kind of time got away from us. But is he dad or is he coach when he goes through and processes?
Yeah,
that that's film? That'll be a question for next time.
Find the way to find some sort of middle ground. The work-life balance, which I know that he has a whole lot of right now. I know he made the jokes if he'll be home in February, and that's where he'll be able to really get to see his family again and see some of that family time. Brad Law of the Auburn Sports Network here with us on the phone lines. Again, always appreciate you for taking some time to join us. Wanted to dive into some of the storylines from fall camp. Is there anything that stands out to you that brings you particularly any extra excitement for working our way to week one?
You know, I thought that I don't remember if we talked about this last week or not, so I don't want to be redundant, but I thought Stanton Ramil going through both of the full scrimmages 5 days apart.
Mm-hmm.
You're not gonna have a 5 day recovery span the rest of the year. You're gonna have longer. You're gonna have 6 days. You have 7 days between games. So I thought that was important. I thought Jacob Strand winning the battle at left guard, as he seemingly has, may not be official, but it seems that he has. I thought that was important. Bryson Washington, his sort of emergence, his answering the bell over the last 2 weeks or so of fall camp is very important for this team. Bryce Diaz showing his versatility and explosiveness at linebacker, very important for this team. Just kind of, for all the new players, there's not a lot of questions to answer before games start. Like, you got two starters on the offensive line who have played a lot of snaps in this offense. You have a quarterback who's run a ton of snaps in this offense. You got three top wide receivers who have played a ton of snaps in this offense. We can't know until we get to the games how much, is lost in translation, how it carries over to this level. Nothing that we've seen means that it won't or that it will. You're just going to need 3 or 4 games to be able to have a sample size. So until then, man, you're confident in how they're running it, you're confident in how they're preparing, and we'll see in a few days and then in a few weeks how all of that pays off.
Brad, and speaking of paying off, I think something that Alex Golish did this past week was phenomenal in bringing the alumni back, the little alumni barbecue or what they had on Saturday to kind of wrap up fall camp. Kind of talk to me about your excitement for that and how that could really endear Alex Golish to this Auburn fan base.
Yeah, the barbecue itself, the get-togethers themselves have happened, and there have been other instances where guys have come back, been welcomed back, and so on and so forth. But what hadn't happened was a gathering with that many of them.
Mm-hmm.
And so, it's not that other staffs like have rejected having the former players, but this really does look like an effort to proactively develop those relationships, restore relationships, make sure everybody's actively welcome. Like, there's a difference between welcoming someone into your house and then actively recruiting them to come to your house.
Yeah, good point.
Those are two different things. And Jairus McIntyre, Coach Golish, the rest of those who have worked with former players to bring them back in and help them actively understand they are welcome, they are invited, they are important. It's another example of this staff identifying something that's important and then letting their actions match their words. They are who they say they are in focusing on it, where you put your time, your resources, your energy. Those are the things that are important to you. And they've done that with the Iron Bowl. They've done that with former players. They're doing that with this victory night coming up Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
They've done it with the marching band coming in. Like, you're seeing some stuff that hasn't been done before. with this group, and that's pretty exciting.
Brad Law of the Auburn Sports Network here with us on the Thursday edition of On the Line. And we've made our fair share of jokes for ESPN not necessarily giving a whole lot of love with the articles for the Auburn Tigers. It's not necessarily a hate. It's more of just the fact of you almost think as if they forgot the Auburn Tigers ceased to exist. But they did release their top 100 players for this upcoming season. And I know that this is thankfully concreted in and nothing will change. And so we'll just have this talking storyline the entire year. But two Auburn players make the top 100, Byron Brown at number 88, Xavier Atkins at number 28, and don't necessarily want to focus on the number 17s that you're going to see on the field this year, but instead want to more so dive into and give you the floor on how this can be a benefit for the Auburn Tigers of not having necessarily five or six stars that are going to be on the field. Instead, it feels like it is one cohesive unit that's going to work its way hopefully onto a lot of success, both on the offensive and the defensive side of the football.
Yeah, team success can lead the way to individual success. If you're worried about the individual success, it's tougher to have team success. I guarantee you the coaches don't care who's not on that list. I guarantee you that probably all of the players who are not on the list don't care that they're not on that list. I will say that Auburn has several guys who it wouldn't surprise me at all if they have breakout years. I mean, Jared Smith at edge, I think he is primed for a breakout year. Bryce Diaz, Elijah Melendez, both. I think Auburn could have three All-American caliber linebackers. They play different styles, but three All-American caliber linebackers in that room. And we don't know, you know, who's going to step up at corner. Is Jeremiah Cobb going to have the type of year in this offense that other running backs have had in this style of offense where he's just a touchdown machine? I think all those things are possible, and it's not a stretch. Like, it's not just kind of possible, but you don't have to reach very far to get there.
We've been with Brad Law of the Auburn Sports Network. And Brad, the latest news out of Auburn Hoops, an exhibition game taking place in Birmingham between the Tide and the Tigers a little bit later in October. What were your initial thoughts on this game, and what could it mean to this rivalry to play three matchups, two during the regular season and one during the preseason this year?
Yeah, let's just kind of back up a little bit. Think about that question you just asked. What are the implications of an exhibition basketball game in October? I mean, it's just on face value, it seems like a silly question, but it's not. It's not a silly question at all, because that's where basketball is in our state. That's where we are with these two fan bases. Basketball matters. It doesn't just kind of matter. It matters a lot. This is an exhibition game that will not count one bit toward either team's win-loss total in the upcoming season. And yet it'll be held over the losing team's fan base's heads until they meet again.
And then again,
the regular season, they will sell out. They'll sell out Legacy Arena for an exhibition basketball game in the month of October. That's where we are with this basketball rivalry in our state right now. And for that, I think it is spectacular.
I mean, you just get to the point of shy away from any sort of injuries, and then, you know, just nobody keeps score, and then we'll just have the rivalry from there, where the two in-season games are the ones that truly matter, and we'll go from there. But yeah, I think it is funny that you mention it. The fan bases will take this as the most important game of the season. Nothing else will matter, but hopefully we get to the point of people are not necessarily, I don't want to say not looking forward to that contest, but hopefully there's still a lot of football excitement that folks can dive into instead of praying for basketball season once October gets here.
Yeah, and you can't have both. It's been a while since both were you know, nationally elite, mm-hmm. but you can absolutely have both, and I look forward to this. This is great. There's some folks not just in Birmingham, but maybe you live in the Coleman area or Huntsville, and getting from there to Auburn is a challenge for a basketball game, but you can get to Birmingham, and the atmosphere, again, it's just going to be a lot of fun. We'll see. Maybe the fact it's an exhibition game makes it a little lighter, and you know, whether you win or lose, maybe it's a little lighter. It's not so serious. No, I couldn't get that.
I was going to say, I don't know if you don't mean the words you're saying.
Yeah, no, I didn't mean that. I couldn't even finish.
Brad Law of the Auburn Sports Network here with us on the phone lines. My friend, plug everything that the Auburn Sports Network has. Again, we continue to count down to week one, September 5th, Auburn and Baylor inside Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta.
Yeah, we're there now. We're in the single digits until that first Auburn-Tiger football game. And so next week, Tiger Talk, Wednesday night, Baumhauer's Victory Grill. We'll have that for you on Wings 94.3. And then next Saturday, how about that? Auburn plays football next Saturday. What a great phrase. That is going to be 2:30 in Atlanta. We're on the air at Wings 94.3 at 11:30 a.m. next Saturday morning with the whole crew ready to have a great time and kick off another season that should give us a whole lot of excitement.
Putting you completely on the spot, before kickoff, when it's Auburn game day, what is your favorite part about Saturday afternoons or Saturday mornings?
Man, oh gosh, that's tough. Is it road game, home game, or any game?
Ooh, yes.
Yes. I think it's 20 minutes before kickoff when the tease music starts.
Yeah.
And we find out what Andy's going to say to set the stage for the game. That, you know, the music's a little more of a dramatic version of the theme music, and now let's go. We've had our fun with the tailgate and the countdown, and now let's lock in, let's find our seat, and let's get ready to rock. That's probably it for me.
Time to go play big boy football. I love it. Yeah. We're looking forward to it. Single-digit days, and just being able to put it that way builds a whole lot of excitement. Brad Law of the Auburn Sports Network. Brad, we appreciate your time. Looking forward to talking to you again next Thursday, where we can almost do a full deep dive into all things Auburn and Baylor.
You got it. Always a pleasure, guys. War Eagle.
Yes, sir. War Eagle. Appreciate you. Brad Law, again, of the Auburn Sports Network. You heard him in Tiger Talk here last night. You're going to hear him all over the Auburn Sports Network all throughout the season. We will take a break. We will come back and wrap up hour number one with some Auburn news outside of the gridiron and get into hour number two, where we dive right back in to the gridiron. But why? You can take a moment away. You can take a step away if you need to, and we'll do that to wrap up hour number one right after this.
You are on the line with Christian Griffin and Trip Upton on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and on the Radio Alabama app.
Wrap it up, hour number one here on the Thursday edition of On the Line. Appreciate Mr. Brad Law of the Auburn Sports Network for taking some time and joining us as he does every single Thursday. His insight, his knowledge, again, a big part of what helps this show run, especially on Thursday afternoons. And yeah, it's fun. We've been having him basically all summer in terms of recaps and hypotheticals and storylines and memories and everything like that. But it's almost time to be able to dive into the previous week, what he liked, what he saw that he wants to hopefully clean up, and then be able to dive into the opponent coming up in just a couple of days. And so that brings a whole lot of excitement just from what our show is going to consist of once football season officially gets here on the plains, and really looking forward to that. We also did get confirmed earlier talking with Jordan Hill of Dogs 24/7, who usually joins us on Wednesdays at 2:30. But again, with our high school coverage, we've taken a couple of weeks off. He has the flexibility now to move it to that 3:30 spot. And so we'll be able to continue having him on Wednesdays as we did yesterday. But Wednesdays at that 3:30 spot. And so excited to continue to get all of that coverage in there as well. And partner, a couple of some really cool events happening outside of the football side of things. Again, we've been able to talk with Coach Armstrong a couple of times, once throughout the summer, and then having him in the studio as well, diving into all things Auburn soccer, Auburn and Kennesaw State tonight at 6 p.m., and then Auburn volleyball starting their first match of the Buccaneer Classic, wildly enough, tomorrow morning at 9 a.m., taking on Liberty in Johnson City, Tennessee.
Yeah, excited for the Auburn soccer, 5th and 3rd Bank Stadium in Kennesaw, Georgia, as you probably know pretty well, as you were there, and I grew up 5 minutes away went to school 10 minutes away from that stadium, so really cool opportunity for Auburn to go play there, and then, you know, excited for Auburn volleyball as well. Early tomorrow morning, you could listen to that. And or I guess watch that and then go over and listen to Doug Amos in the Max Roundtable that's that early, which is so crazy to think about. But yeah, then soccer, I think, what is it? We'll be on Weagle, I believe, if you want to listen to that on your radio dial. That's exciting there for them. And look, we're excited. We're ready to
continue on here. Hopefully bring Coach Crouch on at some point in the next week or so to be able to give their program some spotlight and be able to, as they get closer to the home opener, coming up very, very soon, I believe, in the first week of September.
Yeah, it's crazy to think that that was it. Oh, gosh, how many was it exactly? I know it's more than just a couple of back-to-back road stretches. Again, having a couple of the tournaments outside of Neville Arena. In the Buccaneer Classic, they take on Liberty, ETSU, and Akron. Doubleheader, I guess. They play at 9 a.m. and then ETSU tomorrow afternoon as soon as the drive gets into hour number two at 5 p.m. And then they have the SEC Big Ten Challenge taking on Minnesota and then Wisconsin.
Wait,
both of those.
Who?
Minnesota.
There you go.
Yeah, and Wisconsin in Madison at the UW Fieldhouse before going to Tallahassee for the showdown at the net. And then they have the DePaul Invitational where they take on UIC, Central Michigan, and DePaul. And then finally, on September 17th, that Thursday night, that Thursday evening, rather, they take on UAB inside Neville Arena. And so, yeah, quite a while until... Until the ladies are back inside Neville Arena.
Yeah, they're doing a mystery giveaways from the 70s, 80s, and 90s on that Thursday night.
I love being able to look at all the promotion schedules.
Yeah, they have on against that in that Samford game, you get orange and blue Lays plus sunglasses.
The 19th. An Auburn cornhole board raffle giveaway.
Yeah, I mean, look, if we might need to head up there, get some, because, I mean, we saw how dangerous we were down in Tampa playing Double D and our good buddy Gavin Baxley.
Yeah, can we just, rather than raffle, can we just play somebody for it? Winner take all, we're going full bracket style up at the concourse, or possibly in between sets. We're just going to throw a cornhole board down, have a couple of games.
Oh, that'd be electric. I'm telling you, we might need to sign up for that.
Give me Neville Arena packed for a game of cornhole. You talk about delivering or folding under pressure.
That's the most like frat intramural thing of all time.
Yeah, other than either that or playing basketball on a 7.5-foot goal where we're all just dunking on one another.
Yep.
That's about as frat as it gets right there. Hour number one of the books. We talk what the college football playoff is possibly doing in hour number two.
Is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be a part of the show, call 334-321-1390 or text in at 334-784-1685. The boys are bringing you all the action on the Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. When it comes to the Tigers, the SEC, and the hottest topics in sports, this is where you want to be.
The College Football Playoff Board and leaders are meeting today, but not to talk about who's getting in, but who could be possibly left out.
Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, straight from the ESPN 106.7 studio, here's Christian Griffin and Tripp Upton.
Hour number one in the books. We welcome you into hour number two here on the Thursday edition of On the Line. I'm Christian Griffin. He is Tripp Upton sitting across from me here in the ESPN 106.7 studio. Man, we appreciate everybody for being here with us. It feels like the sports feeling is continuing to kick in, whether that's the Little League World Series, whether that's the Tour Championship right now. I know that I saw that Scotty just hit his drive. He's two under on the day, but I believe it's Minwoo Lee that is leading everything in the tournament right now in day one. And so excited to hopefully be able to watch a little bit of this weekend, as we're going to watch a whole lot of football as college football starts tonight. We got FCS matchups tonight. Also, some really good high school football games going on tonight. We have Auburn High, Lee Scott Academy getting going tomorrow, and then week zero of college football as well getting started this weekend. So a whole lot of excitement to look forward to. The dog days of talking season are all but over. I guess from the Auburn standpoint, you'll have one extra week, but by then it really, really turns into a full... Alex Golish had a mock game week. We're going to kind of have, I guess not a mock game week this week, but we finally turn our true schedule in starting next week of being able to recap the games that happened the week before, hit some of the big storylines, and then really once Wednesday gets here, you're really truly diving into, turning the page into all things of Auburn's next opponent, that obviously being Baylor in Atlanta on September 5th. And so really, really excited for the continuation of what we are doing here on ESPN 106.7, as well as all the listenership, all of the engagement as well. And we know that that will just, I mean, continue to grow once football season gets here. And you haven't necessarily, partner, experienced the Mondays that are, I don't want to say fun, but it's great radio from the standpoint of we're almost just moderators for
sure
half the show.
Because
you've only ever seen like two, maybe three lights up on that phone.
Yes, correct.
Yeah.
I've seen two. And then when we gave away those tickets to the Road to 26, there was a ton there. So
hopefully it looks like that, but for a good reason on Monday, September 7th.
Yeah, I mean, when I was in the season, when I was still kind of just doing the board and whatnot, I would be here for post-basketball midweek games and baseball games. And then once we got into deeper baseball season, I'd be in there on those Mondays. But usually it was Brandon there on Mondays, and I was Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So and definitely not in the fall. So excited and hopeful that those calls are going to be good calls and not bad calls, because I'm sure y'all have had your fair share of bad calls.
Yeah, it's been, again, I can't necessarily say the word fun, but funny at a lot of the times and painfully funny. It's where it gets to, but makes for really engaging radio, because somebody will say something and then that sparks up the interest and the need to call in for somebody else, and then they call in and give their thoughts, and then that just feels like it's a complete chain reaction. But that's how we absolutely love it here on the line. And so not that there's, I don't believe, anything too polarizing to dive into. I guess what we're about to hit on with the college football playoff board meeting, that could fire some people up. But the phone lines are back open for the first half hour of hour number two. If you want to be a part of it in any way, feel free to give us a call at 334-321-1390. The Send Medicine text box is always open as well at 334-784-1OTL. That text box brought to you by Send Medicine, because at Send Medicine, you get VIP medical care with direct access to your personal physician with 20 plus years of emergency room experience. Dr. Eric Sin is bringing personalized, access-driven healthcare to the Plains. You can find out more and become a member today by visiting senmedicine.com. That's S-E-N-N medicine.com. In hour number one, we talked a little bit about Auburn soccer, Auburn volleyball, ending hour number one in their games or their matches coming up. Auburn soccer in Kennesaw State tonight. Auburn volleyball starts tomorrow morning up in Johnson City, Tennessee. We got Brad Law of the Auburn Sports Network to join us, as he does every single Thursday at 2:30. Got his thoughts from Tiger Talk last night, some of the biggest takeaways, some of the storylines surrounding Auburn football as fall camp comes to a close and you work your way through that first full mock week. And then also the stars that have or have not been named for the Tigers, and how, again, when you're looking at an individual list like this, there's not too many coaches, honestly, probably not too many players that care too much about it, and how that can be a good thing for the Auburn Tigers. As Brad said it best, that team success can lead to individual success, but very seldomly you have a whole lot of individual success that leads to team success. You feel as if you're seeing the flip end of that script versus what you've seen over the last handful of years. We also talked the LSU SEC court case possibilities with all of the drama that continues to go on in Baton Rouge. So all of that was in hour number one. If you missed any of it, you can always go back and check it out at our podcast center over at ESPNAU.com.
In an hour number two, we're going to talk to Chris Gordy, host of the Locked On SEC podcast, and I'm sure Chris is going to have thoughts about everything going on with LSU and these NFL players coming back to college. We'll talk to him about that. We'll also look at, you know, what's going on with the college football playoff, seeing where the leaders of the college football playoff might be doing something that we talked about yesterday and something they should be doing to prevent this kind of abuse by coaches trying to play NFL players. And Christian already mentioned it. Phone lines open for the first 30 minutes, 334-321-1390. The Send Medicine text box always open at 334-784-1OTL as well.
Have you had any fantasy football drafts quite yet? Totally off topic. My phone's been blowing up all of hour number one because I guess I should say, thankfully, I forgot that one of mine is tonight. So. Mm.
I have not yet. No, I need to, I'm the commissioner in our league. I got to get it set up. I try and always do wait.
Still not even set up, and you're like, oh man, because commissioner.
Because my thing is, I don't like
commissioner Herbert.
Okay, let's relax. I don't like doing drafts in the middle of preseason because you always run the risk that someone's going to get hurt. You always, you know, and it gives you the most data for like people like me that actually do care about the preseason.
Ashton Gentry is the perfect story of that.
Right, exactly. And, you know, he was able to dodge a little bit of a more serious injury, but having a – to be able to be like, okay, these are what the rookies look like in the NFL. They're playing well. Like this – I remember I had a draft in 2018, and there was a certain quarterback that I knew. He had had a good preseason, and I was like, man, let me draft this guy. Let's see what happens. We did like an auction style draft. Have you ever done one of those?
Mm-mm.
So basically they throw out a player and you throw out a starting bid. Each person gets like 500 bucks or 500 points or whatever. And you have to bid on players you want. So you throw out a player, like you could throw out, I want Jahmyr Gibbs. I'm starting the bid at $1. And they could get up to like $20, $30, $40.
So the website doesn't promote the player. It's literally one, or is it you, or is it just one person?
What we would do is we would do it in person. This is an in-person thing very
okay,
much
okay.
so.
Okay, that makes that
so
makes
we'd have
sense.
Like that, and then the commissioner of the league, it was my friend's dad, would upload it to ESPN effectively and
gotcha.
Do the and like give everyone their team. But I got this quarterback for $5. It was Patrick Mahomes the year he first won MVP.
Oh.
So that was pretty awesome having to say like
it's a nice little steal.
Exactly. I was like, okay, well he had a really good week 17 when they benched Alex Smith for the rest for the playoffs, and man, he had that ball against Atlanta that was 70 air yards. Andy Reid's offense is pretty good.
Yeah, he put up 77 points against Oklahoma in that shootout in college. He's got to be
yeah,
gotta do something.
I think
right?
I got him and I made it all the way to like the finals or like the final four. With him and some other guys. Like, I was the person that was the – in the draft. I would be, like, the money ball. I was the Oakland A's. I was Alex Anthopoulos, funny enough, where I would – I might not get anyone on the top 4 to 5, but mid-round I was getting the people that, like, I had scouted, like the Vontae Mack, no matter what kind of guys. I remember, like those were my guys when we did the auction draft, and they'd be like, all right, Tripp, you have – everyone else is in the double-digit points. If you start with 500, they're in like the 30s and 20s. You have 300.
Heck yeah.
And I just would be able to bid who I want. I think I'd always do like triple digits on a kicker in the last round.
Just because.
Just to burn them all. Just like, yeah.
It's like dining dollars. They don't stay with you.
Exactly. So
you might as well just go ahead
so
and
yeah,
get rid of them.
Harrison Butker in round 16, I'm going 400 points. Y'all do something about it.
That's pretty awesome.
It's pretty fun. Does it take a lot longer? Yes.
Sure.
And we also had like it's like a 10-person league, so like it took probably like 5 hours.
Did y'all do it with like legit Monopoly money as well? Like you actually like almost like the Survivor auctions from back in the day
that you had
like the physical.
No, we did it on like I had like a spreadsheet. I got to go see if I can find my old spreadsheets of my drafts because I had it spreadsheeted out and I would have it all. Oh my goodness, I need to find this while we're talking, but. Yeah, I need to get that stuff done very, very soon.
Yeah, you definitely do. So in one of my drafts, I am pick 1-1. And so if anybody has any advice on Jahmyr Gibbs or Bijan Robinson,
Jahmyr Gibbs.
It's kind of the way that I'm leaning. But my team name is officially, as of last night, Gibbs or Bijan. So
nice.
That is my team name. But if anybody has advice on that, tonight I am pick 9, which is not
okay.
Terrible, but it is snake. So I'll pick the 9th and then sit for 10, 11, 12, and then I will go, you know, 12, 11, 10, and then right back to me at 9.
So are you a person that are you do like the team names that are like an NFL player in them?
I mean, not necessarily.
All of mine were always inside jokes with our friends.
Kind of just,
there might have been a one where we that I don't know if I'd say that for that joke, but like it would be like something like Landon's dad's college football sports almanac. It'd be like a picture of his dad that we pulled off Google as like my team name, and so every single other person would be like inside jokes in our friend group. It was really funny.
If this was still like a league where I was like really good friends with everybody, yes, but it's kind of grown to where some of them I have never met in my entire life.
And sure.
So, I'll just put like their mom's name and
see what
change
happens.
That for every single week. Whoever I'm about to play, it's like, what? Why does it say Miranda's team? Just because that was, yeah, your mom.
Your mom.
Not diving into that any further. But college football, we dove into a lot of the Lane Kiffin SEC drama that continues to unfold. In response to this, the College Football Playoff Board is expecting to meet. I'm not exactly sure. I haven't seen any total updates if they already have or if they're still planning on how they want to do everything. But there's legitimate possibilities that they could ban teams with former pros from not only the College Football Playoff, but from the postseason as well. Do you think that this is something that will, A, be legitimized, B, be a true threat, or is it going to get to the point of if LSU does the, I guess not LSU at this point, but if a team like Notre Dame does something like this just because a statement hasn't been released for them, or a Louisville, whoever the case may be, because the ACC hasn't, to where it's like, okay, we're going to value our 10 or 12 regular season games more than the three postseason games, and we'll just suffer whatever else because it's not going
to
matter.
Well, I think that to start with teams like that you mentioned, like Notre Dame, where you're not playing in a conference championship anyway, if they just went undefeated and you were banned from postseason competition, couldn't you just claim a national championship?
Yeah.
I mean, hypothetically, you just beat somebody so that some random the HUD rankings list you as the number one overall team per XDAR, and because of that, you claim a national championship.
Yeah, you beat Miami in week 10 or whatever the case is, and then Miami makes the college football playoff, and it's like, okay, well, there you go. It's the UCF route of Auburn beat Alabama, we beat Auburn, so UCF,
yes, correct.
National championship.
Exactly. You could see something like that happening, but I think that they should have it the same way that the NCAA treated Alabama when they had Charles Bediako, and that is that the games that these players play in should not count towards your playoff resume. And I think that that would be a great example of like if you play a guy in six games, you're not and you go 12-0, we're not going to consider your six game those six games that you played them.
Do you consider that as then they would be 6-0, or would you consider that a little bit more strictly and say, okay, you're 6-6?
Ooh, I think I'd have to say just that.
Because if you're undefeated, then that doesn't necessarily reap the punishment as hard, I guess.
Right. I mean, because I would say 6-0, but by that same logic, you could lose six games with that player and be 6-0.
Right.
You know? I think that you'd have to. I think you look at the team as it is with that play, without that player.
It's whichever one hurts that team more.
Sure. I think that is, I mean, that's kind of what the end of the day, because I want this to be a consequence for teams so that they don't do this.
Mm-hmm.
But I just look at what the punishment should be. Again, postseason ban might be very hard to enforce, but when you have a committee that is deciding these things, and it's a closed-door conversation. Yes, there are reporters, and then they report what the committee talked about after the fact. It is still a closed-door conversation. It's still a closed-door vote. I think that they should be, okay, we're not going to consider – if you beat number one Ohio State with a player on the team that was an NFL player, and you broke this rule that we'd already lined out, that doesn't count for your resume.
Yeah. It's not a bad point at all. The college football playoff might look to ban teams that include former professional athletes on their rosters, says a report from On3's Ross Dellinger. According to his report, college football playoff leaders are set to meet by a conference call during which the hot topic of former NFL players seeking to return to college football will be approached and discussed. After two players recently released from NFL training camps committed to LSU after being declared eligible by the Louisiana Louisiana lawsuit. The SEC, the Big Ten, and the Big 12. How nice of him to put the SEC first. All passed rules banning their member schools from rostering such players and promising stiff penalties for those who attempt to do so. We talked about that yesterday. It's 50% suspension for the regular season for that head coach, a 50% basically budget removal, and was able to listen to a little bit of the drive last night, and Adam Cole was in here with Bill Cameron and talked about Auburn was kind of right in the middle of the SEC last year, spending right around $60 million. Not on the roster, but just the overall football budget.
Program.
And so, again, imagine losing $30 million for your program, much less if you're one of the higher ending spending teams to where you're sitting there possibly losing $50 or $60 million. Like, that's a very big tick.
I know that, like, in modern college football, you have to spend money to make money,
yeah,
both in NIL as well as operational budget with scholarships. I'm curious what would happen if an athletic, if an SEC program, I think that's like death penalty level, like in terms of you lose that money, you lose that scholarship. It probably would hurt the fans at the end of the day, because the university is going to need to make up that operational budget somehow. Ticket prices would probably go up. Concession prices would probably go up because that you're losing TV. You're basically having to sacrifice your TV money for that kind of stuff and your conference payouts for that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that would be a weird ripple effect to see who would be punished the most, if it would be the end. Oh, it's unfortunately, it's crazy that you caught us, because this year our team was only going to spend $20 million, and so the punishment is only $10 million, because that's all that was officially reported, rather than we sent all of this into a third party and got an anonymous donation of $50 million for this one season. I make a joke as if,
I think
God forbid, there's probably already been conversations of something like that. I did find it interesting. Sorry to cut you off.
No, you're good.
Harris and Wright, the two players for previously the Browns and the
Saints,
have not been officially added to the LSU roster quite yet. So it is unclear if the Tigers will choose to fight the SEC ruling. I did not know this, but the immediate deadline is next Friday, which obviously makes a lot of sense. The date the SEC teams must lock in their 105-man rosters prior to the 2026 season opener the following day. And so basically, all of this drama is just going to end, right? I mean, as soon as you get to Friday, nothing's going to matter. You get to the point of, okay, they play or they don't, and thankfully all of this is going to get put to bed and we can focus solely on football.
You wish, Christian. You wish. And, you know, I'm curious to see how much this, if a coach was to do this, how much, money laundering, I'm going to say money laundering, but like shell, like moving money around to for, again, what you said, like, oh, we only have a football budget of $10 million, but our facilities budget that's from the university that just happened to get a bunch of donations is four times what it was last year and matches the football budget exactly, plus another $30 million. How much this would push sports and college sports to private equity? And you look at what certain programs like Utah, LSU's discuss this of private equity agreements. And I think that scares me, because I look what private equity's done to youth sports.
Yeah.
College sports are already messed up enough. We shouldn't be putting in for-profit corporations into college athletics.
We need to get to break, but I want to ask you a question and then get you to answer it on the other side of this break.
Okay.
College football and the college football playoff could ultimately end up being college football's like ultimate enforcement tool. Is that a good thing or a bad thing in terms of saying you can't compete for a national championship? We already talk about the regular season losing value. Would something like this put a halt to it even more? I want you to be able to get your thoughts out on that when we come back. Again, the phone lines are open for the time being. They'll close down at 3:30 when Chris Gordy, host of the Locked On SEC podcast, gets here. But the text box, the Send Medicine text box, is always open at 334-784-1OTL. Give us your thoughts. We'll be back right after this, here on the Thursday edition of On the Line.
You're on the line with Christian Griffin and Trip Upton. Be a part of the show by calling 334-321-1390 or text us at 334-784-1685.
Back here on the Thursday edition of On the Line here on ESPN 106.7. He is Trip Upton. I'm Christian Griffin. And we continue on with the conversation and the question that, Trip, I asked you before getting to break, talking about what this means for college football in terms of the College Football Playoff Committee set to meet and discuss all things about former pro athletes and possibly banning any teams that choose to go that route from any sort of postseason play. I guess as of right now, we at least think that that will not be an SEC team, a Big Ten team, or a Big 12 team. But again, if Lane Kiffin decides and LSU decides to take the SEC or the NCAA to court, for all you know, it's going to be right back to the free-for-all. And so the question I asked was, if the College Football Playoff Committee becomes the enforcement tool for college football, is this a good thing? Is this a legitimate threat? Or is this going to be something that, again, at least in my thought, takes even more power away from the NCAA?
I mean, you look at it, the College Football Playoff is not governed by the NCAA. It's not. They reward the same national championship. That is true. But there's a reason why every other division or every other NCAA trophy has is the same, just like the March Madness trophy. And then you have the College Football Playoff trophy. And you've had the AP poll, the writers poll, whatever. I look at it and I say, there's two things that come to mind. One, yes, I do think that the College Football Playoff, in a perfect world, will prevent this kind of, you know, you can't act too much because if you don't get in the College Football Playoff, especially for a program like LSU, what does it mean? However, going back to what I said last segment, when is it a matter of time before these schools start looking for loopholes and declare themselves national champions anyway? If LSU goes undefeated this year with these NFL players on the roster, if they were to sue the SEC and the SEC teams are still able to play them, even if they don't get invited to the SEC championship, even if they don't get invited to the College Football Playoff, even if they don't get invited to a bowl game, what is stopping them from saying, hey, we're undefeated and we had the highest metric in the Lafayette Times writers poll or the, you know, the Hammond, Louisiana AP? What does that mean? Could they claim a national championship? And then at that point, then it's just, again, ironically enough, Lane Kiffin picks and chooses who he, what rules to follow, and LSU could pick and choose which national championship and rule set to follow and not the NCAA and College Football Playoffs guidelines.
Goes right back to what we feel like is the title of today's program. Who actually runs college football? You feel like hopefully some of those answers are working their way down the home stretch, but you feel like we'll never know. If only Chris Gordy, host of the Locked On SEC podcast, were to run college football, we'll see what he would change, what he would do, and what the heck he would do about the College Football Playoff and also his hometown Baton Rouge Tiger. I guess that worked. Hometown Tigers from Baton Rouge. Chris Gordy, host of the Locked On SEC podcast, joins us when we come back.
Halfway through hour number two, you're on the line with Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7.
Thirty more minutes here on the Thursday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. He is Trip Upton. I'm Christian Griffin. Appreciate everybody for being here with us on the Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. And we've been talking about the SEC. We've been talking about college football and the College Football Playoff. Let's just bring in the man who I think we need to vote the all commissioner of college football, Mr. Chris Gordy, host of the Locked On SEC podcast here, taking some time to join us, my friend. Thankfully, there's no drama whatsoever in terms of college football that I know that you don't have an answer to whatsoever.
Yeah, guys, if you want to argue about anything, talk to my lawyer, because that's what you do now in America. You disagree with anything, you just lawyer up. And you get your lawyer to keep fighting for you. That's what we do.
I mean, it feels like that's where we're at the spot of our question today throughout our show has been, who runs college football? Because you get to the point of, is it the individual, whether that's the individual player? Is it the individual team? Because now there's legitimate conversations possibly on the LSU Tigers taking the SEC or taking the NCAA to court to try and get some of these rulings figured out. You don't know now if it's the College Football Playoff in terms of deciding who is going to be in or if you're going to ban certain teams. I mean, it feels like it's an all-around cluster that you really, again, just have absolutely absolutely no insight. And funny enough, college football with the FCS starts tonight.
Yeah. No, I saw. I told our buddy Eric Cade, who does Locked On Balls, said, hey, at 5 o'clock on ESPN Plus, you can watch Furman. They play something called, I think it's Summerwood or something. Like, I don't even know what it is. But, yeah, they're at 5 o'clock on ESPN Plus if you want to watch the Furman Paladins, who will then play Faison Brandon in Tennessee next week. But, yeah, so football's kind of back. But I'm sick of all this stuff, man. I'm sick of any time anybody disagrees. Because here's the deal. Like, people are like, the college football is just, it's the Wild Wild West. There's no rules. No, there are rules. We're just choosing not to follow them. Whenever we have any little glimpse of anything of like, oh, this would be in my best interest, let me fight this rule and I'll get a court and a judge to rule against it. It's just, it's silly season, man. And yes, that includes Trinidad Chambliss and his stupid medical year that he needed from tonsillitis at Ferris State. Like, his career should be done, and it's just, to me, it's silliness all around. Lane Kiffin needs to drop it, and hopefully the repercussions Greg Sankey has laid out will be part of this.
You know, Chris, and how you know, quickly are you, I'm surprised, honestly. I want to get your opinion on how quickly that these conferences got into line immediately. You look at the SEC, the Big Ten came right before the SEC. The Big 12 in the past 24 hours as well has put out a statement banning and voting to ban this practice. Are you surprised that all of these conferences are immediately hardline banning this? Or did you think there was going to be more of a we don't know period, kind of what we saw with the Big 12 and Brendan Sorsby?
Well, I think the idea of a player returning from the NFL to go to college, I think most people are on board and, you know, in against. And so I think that's right. I think that's how all these conferences collectively agreed to this as quickly as they did. Now, if you want to get into semantics, I do think it is a little bit, the situation is a little bit different because, you know, what happened was you had, you know, the NCAA talked about for months that they were going to approve this five for five deal. And we ended up, you know, it came into form in, in June. And so all those players that just graduated last year, well, hey, what about us? And the NCAA was like, well, no, you don't count. And so I get why those players are like, wait a minute, if you're giving everybody a fifth year, we should have been given the option to get a fifth year. And so now you're seeing guys that did not, you know, were not good enough for the NFL, but played 4 years of college, are coming back for their fifth year, and they're getting approved. Like, there was an App State defensive back that's going to South Carolina. You know, you've seen a few of these. Now, the real problem became the kids that went, you know, had declared for the draft and tried to hitch on with a team. And even though many of them went undrafted and got training camp invites, they're all getting cut now. And it's like, hey, well, I want to go back to college. And they're saying, well, no, you signed with a pro team. And it's like, yeah, I mean, kind of. Like, you wore a Tampa Bay Bucks jersey or a Cleveland Browns jersey for a couple of weeks, but you're not really an NFL. That's all after the graphics. And they're like, former Cleveland Brown. I'm like, when was Daquan Wright a Cleveland Brown? He wore the jersey for a few weeks at a practice, but, like, he wasn't a Cleveland Brown. I mean, it's funny. I go back to Chris Doering, you know, had a cup of coffee with the Houston Texans. I don't call him former Houston Texan Chris Doering, right? Like, it's, you know, just because you went through a couple weeks of training camp. So, I don't know. It's all silliness, but I do think back to the idea of common sense has to prevail here. We have to get back to having some rules. And so, if the SEC wants to say nobody who's ever played on a pro contract, including the G League, which I thought that was great, could have used that about a year ago, Charles Bediako. But I agree with the ruling, and in my opinion, I mean, I think Lane Kiffin ought to drop it, but it feels like him and the lawyers of these players are so far in that they're going to continue to fight this.
Yeah, one of your insights on that side of things, because at least reports, at least from what I've heard on social media, and thankfully we know that everything that happens on social media is 100% true, but is there truth to Lane Kiffin having conversations with some of these guys and telling them to go ahead and get lawyered up because we're going to fight this? We're not going to just settle down reading an article saying that everything needs to be figured out. The 105-man roster needs to be figured out by next Friday. And so do you think that'll work its way into effect, or is Lane Kiffin and possibly LSU going to get involved in the entire athletic department on what the future of their teams are going to look like, both in football and on the hardwood as well?
Well, I just want Greg Sankey to make some phone calls and call Lane Kiffin and go, Lane, dude, you're a week out from playing Clemson. Like, your focus should be on that, not trying to add a backup tight end and a backup D lineman. Like, just focus on your team and go from there. I mean, this is all silly season. You know, some people have said, oh, well, you know, this tight end, he's trying to add players from the NFL. Look, Tre'Davious Green is their number one wide receiver. Daquan yeah. Wright would just be some depth. So it's in my opinion, I just don't think we need to go down this route. You know, again, if you want to add guys who are getting that fifth year granted from their state and they didn't declare for the draft or didn't go off to the NFL, that's fine. And it sounds like LSU even has a kid that played at Utah last year, a defensive back that apparently was visiting them that did not go to the draft. So, okay, you want to add him, fine. I think there was a Notre Dame guy they also added, a D lineman that didn't go to the draft. But if you went to the draft and you played with any kind of team, you know, whether it's training camp or not, I just feel like we need to drop this. And so it's just silliness. And God forbid, guys, if LSU finds themselves in a close game with Clemson next week, what's going to be the story? Well, if Lane was more focused on game plan and get ready for Clemson instead of, you know, trying to add NFL players, he would have been fine. And don't get me wrong, it's not all Lane. It's just he's the face of this because
right.
he's the most hated figure in college sports. So there are other schools out there. I mean, sure, it came out that Shane Beamer and Ole Miss both contacted Daquan Wright about trying to get him in. So it's not, you know, it's not just Lane Kiffin, but obviously he's the most hated coach out there, so he's going to wear this.
Chris Gordy, host of the Locked On SEC podcast, with us here on this Thursday afternoon. And we saw the punishments that Greg Sankey released following the statements and the actual rule from the Big Ten. But I know you're a big baseball guy, and so not sure if we need to read between the lines. But baseball was not mentioned, whether that's a minor league contract or anything like that. Do you foresee anything on the college / minor league baseball side of things working its way into effect?
I did think that part was funny. I was like, why did they not include MLB on there? I mean, you know, you want Jay Johnson calling up Paul Skeens to say, hey man, why don't you come back to school for a year? We'll, you know, we'll let you pitch. But
he might need it right now.
Yeah, exactly. I just think that part is really weird. And the other part too, people forget is, man, it used to be the norm that guys who played both baseball and football growing up, that they would get to the next level and, you know, they would leave college to go pursue a professional baseball career. And that, you know, Chris, you guys may be too young, but Chris Wanky did it.
Yeah.
You know, LSU in 2003, their national championship winning quarterback, Matt Mock, he did it. He went and pursued a baseball career for a few years. Then came back to college. He was like a 25-year-old, you know, super senior, and went in the national championship for Nick Saban at LSU. So, that used to be the norm. So I don't know. I don't know why that they didn't include, you know, MLB in there. I guess just because, you know, you have young kids that can go pursue that career out of high school and then I guess come back to college. I don't know, but kind of peculiar that they didn't include MLB in there. They even included WNBA.
Yeah,
I'm like,
yeah.
Oh, show me one instance of a girl that declared for the WNBA draft that wants to go back to college.
They did that simply for Kim Mulkey and for the entire LSU athletic department.
Apparently. Kim can't win for trying right now. Like, she had a Ukrainian yeah. girl and she had a Russian girl, and now she's into an international domestic issue. And it's like, goodness, she's just trying to win basketball games.
Speaking of basketball, Chris, Auburn and Alabama announced a preseason game to be taking place in Birmingham in October. Are you someone that is cool with this? The okay of, okay, it doesn't really matter because it's a preseason exhibition game? Or is this something that dilutes that rivalry at all? What were your thoughts when you saw this come across your feed that Auburn and Alabama will be playing in a preseason game in Birmingham?
Oh, I think it's awesome. And didn't they say, like, some of the profits are going to go to NIL deals
yeah.
for the players and stuff?
Yeah, so
yeah.
they made it to where they used a little bit of using their powers and said if the game gets sold out, they'll be able to make it to where both teams can receive some of the funds. I don't think that that's a big persuasion, but I did think that's funny that they almost italicized the word if everything gets sold out.
Well, let me ask you guys. Don't you think that's going to sell out? That everybody's going to want to go watch that?
That is so, going to
That's the idea. I mean, we just hope that Auburn fans aren't praying for basketball season once October hits.
Well, that's true. Yeah, they can't. Don't do it. It's not going to be on a Saturday, right? Like, I wouldn't do it on a Saturday.
No, I believe it's a Thursday night.
Yeah, there you go. That's fine. I mean, I think that's great. And by the way, it starts to create some early excitement for basketball season. Both Auburn and Alabama have been better basketball schools in recent years than it feels like they ever have been. So I love it. I think that's great for the sport, and actually almost is like a primer to get you, you know, since everybody's got new rosters constantly, get every, you know, all the casual fans acclimated to, oh, okay, who's our best player? What's the roster look like this year? So I love that. And, hey, Stephen Pearl, you better win some more games this year.
The only thing that could have possibly made it better in terms of like the calendar is if they would have, I guess it wouldn't be preseason because you'd get things going, but if you found a way to play just a preseason or an exhibition game right before the Iron Bowl, if you want to talk about just firing up the fans, because although this may be seen as an exhibition for both teams, you know that the fan bases don't work like that, and that will be held above the losing team's fan base up until both matchups in the regular season.
Oh, there's no doubt. That'd be awesome. And heck, I mean, with the new rulings, can we find a way to get Jani Broome back in school and add him to Auburn's roster? I mean, it feels like that's a possibility now.
Yes, get Jani, get LeBaron Filon. Just have like an all-Alabama versus all-Auburn team at this point, and why not do something like that? On that terms, legitimate question, what is LSU's basketball team looking like? I know that they're fighting the R.J. Lewis situation right now, but I know it's a little bit of a laughing stock. If you go and you look at LSU basketball and their roster, it's kind of just like four blank pictures while they try and figure everything out.
Yeah, your guess is as good as mine. Okay. I mean, I tried following it, and it was like the first four players they added, I think, were like international guys or guys who had tested the NBA waters, and I was like, you know, my buddy who covers it real closely, he's like, well, this guy's definitely going to play. This guy may not. We're waiting on a court ruling on this guy. I was like, you know what? Let me know when the season starts, and I'll look at the roster then. So very much up in the air. Will Wade took a very unorthodox approach, but I think he got from the timing of him leaving and going to LSU, he couldn't really, you know, there weren't like top recruits just hanging out there. Mm-hmm. So we'll see what they look like. I will tell you this, I think LSU will be better this year because I think Will Wade's a good coach. But what their roster looks like, your guess is as good as mine. They'll probably have a bunch of former international players with names you can't pronounce.
Yeah, I mean, that's the best way to go. And we did talk about that from the Auburn perspective as well, because it mentioned NBA and G League contracts, but there wasn't anything from the European professional standpoint. And so maybe that's just the route that you need to take.
Well, and they're a little different over there. Like over here, we have AAU ball and all that stuff. They don't have that there. It's like
that is their professionals.
Like once you finish high school ball, and even sometimes, even in high school, some of those guys are signing pro contracts in Greece and Turkey and all that. So it's a little different over there. So I get it, but there has been calls. People have said, like, you know, we can't be bringing these former pros from over there here. To make it sense, make it an age thing. I mean, sure. You know, you can't come if you play pro ball in Europe. You can't come and play college ball in the States if you're 20 years or older. You know, what I mean, like that would be a good way to kind of knock it down. But yeah, bringing over like a 24-year-old center from Greece, yeah, of course you're going to dominate.
Chris Gordy, host of the Locked On SEC podcast, with us on the phone lines. My friend, again, college football, FCS football getting started here tonight. You have week zero coming up here on Saturday. Are you a week zero college football lover? Like, are you the fact of you watch it simply because it's on, or are there some key matchups that you're really planning on paying attention to?
Well, I tweeted out earlier. I mean, there's actually the slate's not bad.
Yeah.
Like, we get North Carolina TCU as the primer on Saturday, and then you got two afternoon games. I mean, look, USC is supposed to be back, right? Like, Lincoln Riley's supposed to have them back. They play San Jose State, who's not very good, but, you know, it'll be a good primer to see how good USC is. Then you get NC State, Virginia, who, you know, Virginia ended up being a really good team in the ACC last year, so that'll be good. And
did
then,
you see that injury report?
What's that?
Did you see that injury report for NC State and Virginia?
Virginia has like 17 players out.
Yeah, it's wild. Oh, for the ACC, non-ACC matchup.
In weeks, are they hitting it in Charlottesville?
Well, we're loading up on NC State minus the points, so let's go.
Yeah, no better way to have it. And then, yeah, you have some of the fun ones tonight, letting you know now that Hawaii's upsetting Stanford, and we'll happily go from there. But, Chris, you mentioned that tweet. Tell everybody where they need to go, whether that's the personal feed, whether that's the Locked On SEC podcast. And the biggest question, where people need to go to see College Chris in an orange or a yellow polo and a visor, because I saw that and it just made my absolute week.
Yeah, Locked On SEC, wherever you get your podcasts. We're talking SEC football 5 days a week, and then I'm on Twitter at Chris Gordy. And yeah, I dug up an old video from my time in college.
It was awesome.
Interviewing folks at an SEC tailgate at Chris Gordy. Check it out.
I love the fact that it's just like, how much of the games do you actually remember? And about half of the people said, like, yeah, some of it, but the other half are like, okay, yep, that's the perfect LSU fan base right there. You don't need to remember it as long as you have a good time.
Well, it was a great time because when I was in college, everybody drank. And apparently the kids these days are valuing their health over drinking, and I say no to that. Just say yes to the booze.
I mean, they say that, and then the college football season gets started, and then they'll reconsider everything that they need to do to make their way through a painful college football season. Chris, we greatly appreciate your time. We look forward to being able to talk with you next Thursday, where it's honestly a full recap of week zero and a full look ahead to week one.
Can't wait, guys. Auburn, Baylor, I'll bring you a full primer next week.
Man, we're looking forward to it. Chris Gordy, host of the Locked On SEC podcast, again, taking some time to join us as he does every single Thursday at 3:30. Appreciate his insight, his knowledge, his friendship as well. You could tell that's a little bit off kilter, but again, a guy that I've been able to know over the last handful of years from SEC media days, and then again through just conversations on and off the air. Man, what a guy, and appreciate all that he does for the Locked On SEC podcast. So make sure to go check it out. We will come back. We will take a break, rather, and then we'll come back and we will wrap up the Thursday edition of On the Line right after this.
You are on the line with Christian Griffin and Trip Upton on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and on the Radio Alabama app.
Wrap it up. Almost at hour number one. No, wrap it up the Thursday edition of On the Line here on ESPN 106.7. Appreciate everybody for being here with us. Appreciate Brad Law of the Auburn Sports Network, as well as Chris Gordy, host of the Locked On SEC podcast. And I know that we're about to get kicked out of here, but the phone blown up again. And I totally meant to ask you this, and you don't have very long to answer it. But for those that don't know, again, Tripp did not necessarily grow up the biggest of Auburn fans, and so we are now putting him through the ringer, like full-on military straight jacket, put you in a chair, force your eyeballs to watch everything post-2010, and we do mean everything. We do, in fact, mean the 2012 season as well. How far are you? Because you're not even watching highlights. You're going, like, full game,
that's,
aren't you?
Yes, that, I clarified for a ruling in the group chat of, like, hey, should I be watching the full game? Because I've watched the full game of Arkansas State, and then I'm almost done. I had to knock out some work last night, so I had to pause it. Actually, I came over to your house last night. I don't even know why I said work for the Mississippi State game that year, that Thursday night game where Nick Fairley was the only player effectively on defense. and you know, he great Cam Newton ball to Darvin Adams, Harrison High School legend, like jumping up in the end zone to make just a high point catch. And they got an onside kick, like the last play I watched. I was like, okay, I'm going to go do something else because I'm starting to get like Auburn fan flashbacks.
My favorite part of all of this is he sends us a random text and goes, wait, Cody Burns used to be the quarterback? And it's like, oh, buddy, you are in
the
time of your life. He is Trip Upton. I'm Christian Griffin. We appreciate everybody for being here with us. Sports are so much better with an opinion, whether you love them, whether you hate them. We're back tomorrow on Friday to talk all about them, and we hope you'll be there to join us.